Well, good evening, church. I'm glad to be back. Sometimes it feels like I ain't been here in a while, but I'm been blessed to be able to preach the past few weeks, and I'm really feeling blessed to get to preach here at home. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity. If you would, please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. How many times you ever tried painting a room and you seem to get paint all over everything but the wall, right? And I know us parents that's had younger kids and even the older parents that's got grown kids, you know, when it's raining outside, the kids always want to go play in the mud, right? It seems like they can always find what they can do to get dirty. And I'm going to focus on tonight about guarding our heart, because right now we're in a time, which I know there's nothing new under the sun, but we're walking in a sin-filled world. And everything that we see and that we lay our eyes upon, I think, is calling for us to turn against God. At least that seems the way it works with me. So we're going to read some words of wisdom from Solomon to his son. And starting in verse 20, the Bible says, "My son, attend to my words, and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are a life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, but put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder thy path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand here tonight, Father. Thank you for the chance once again to proclaim your word. Father, I pray this is your words that are being spoken and not mine, Father. As we deal with the issue of guarding our heart, give me the clarity of voice and words as we proclaim your truth tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we walk through life, we see that there are all kinds of things that can come into us and end up flowing out through us through various channels in our lives. And our text points out five things that we need to look at: our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our hands and feet. We can call the ears and the eyes and the mouth and the hands and feet streams if you want to. And I'll call the heart a fountain. Two of these things flow into the heart and three of them flow out of it. The eyes are the ones that have the double job. We'll discuss that here in a little bit. And all these streams are connected to the heart. Is what we're calling the fountain. How many of you like looking at beautiful fountains? They're beautiful when they're working right. The crystal clear water. We just had homecoming pictures. You see them on Facebook. Everybody posting, everybody dressed up. And we took Alexis to the fountain there at Hendrix. Beautiful fountain. They're beautiful when they're lit up at night. All that crystal clear water. Just immaculate. But imagine what it would look like if it was the water from the Arkansas River. Wouldn't look so pretty then, would it? Or to even go further, that sewage treatment plant. That's getting a little nasty now. I'm not trying to be nasty or rude. But our heart shows through our hands and our feet and our mouth and our eyes what's in it. The godly life and even the disciplined life begins with the heart. The heart is where we need to focus our efforts on what we believe in our lives. We will eventually see that our eyes, our ears, and our mouth, and our feet will reveal what is in our hearts. We will see that what is in the well will come out of the bucket. And if we carefully examine ourselves, it will not be very difficult to find out exactly where our heart is. So our text begins with one of the wisest fathers commanding his beloved sons total attention and concentration. And it starts off in verse 20 with the ears. He says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying." Listen to me is what he's saying. Whatever enters my ear has an opportunity to influence my mind, my heart, and my decisions. So I best be careful in what I listen to. We must listen for God's voice if we would hear the words for eternal wisdom. Words of wisdom are God's vehicles to transport divine counsel to us. I cannot give you that divine counsel. It's up to you to read your Bible and for God to tell you what He wants you to hear. My job is to point you in the right direction. I can't tell you what God says. I hope you understand what I'm telling you. He's telling his son to listen. And to listen, you got to look. We need to read God's Word to hear what He has to say. There must be an attentive ear. We must be willing to listen to God and what He is saying without all of the white noise. If we're not willing to listen due to our ears being tuned into some worldly sounds, then what worth are the words of God if He's trying to talk to us and we're not going to pay attention? I know a lot of people pride themselves in being able to multitask. But God wants our whole attention. He wants 100% of us. How many times have any one of us tried to explain something to our kids while they weren't paying attention? Stop, don't do that, you're going to get hurt, I told you. We've been there, right? I know I've done it. I have personally watched people on their phones. Do y'all remember that Pokemon Go craze on these smartphones? We had a guy at work, and he was proud of himself because he's caught all the Pokemon. And we're watching him out there in the parking lot, and he's chasing this thing, and he's looking on his phone, he's walking around, and we're sitting there looking, he's going to hit it, he's going to hit it, and he walks right into a light pole. It was crazy. And then you see on the news, there was people over in England that was walking off in the bay trying to catch Pokemon. Crazy. Where were their eyes? What was they fixed on? A video game. Looking through the camera on their phone. People say, "I'll see what I'm walking to through my phone." Yeah. When your phone's pointed at the ground, what are you walking into? It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. So how do we want to learn to listen? Here's a plan that I think we need. We must be determined. We got to have determination. We must be determined that nothing will stop us. We need to make it our priority in our lives that when we say we're going to read God's Word, we're going to do it. And everybody else needs to understand what we're doing. So at home, when I'm reading, everybody needs to understand this is study time. Phones off. TV's off, whatever the case may be. Because that helps us, number two, to concentrate. We got to set aside all those distractions. Like I said, turn off your phone, turn off your TV, get that barking dog and put him outside. Refuse to look around at anything that's trying to distract you. Number three, don't let your presuppositions get into the way. What is a presupposition? Well, it's the way we view life. Each and every one of us have our own ways we view life. One presupposition that I have is that in the morning I know that I'm going to go out and put my key in the car and it's going to start. Because it's a trustworthy car, right? But we have that made up in our minds. We're never thinking that it's not going to start because it's old trustworthy and it's always been there. We have our presuppositions. We've got our day planned out and we know exactly how it's going to be. The world has taught us many wrongs, and we need to listen to the whole counsel of God and not lean on our own understanding. We need to make sure that we hear the whole conversation. That means we need to read the entire chapter or the entire book. If we're confused, we need to read more. Go back and reread it. Because we don't need to take things out of context. We don't need to take a verse of Scripture and apply it to what we think it means in life and then push that out on everybody. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We all have been guilty, I'm pretty sure, of hearing a conversation and we hear something that triggers us and we say to ourselves, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. And then that's how gossip starts, right? But we didn't hear the whole conversation. We need to make sure we know what's going on. Number four, we need to make sure that whatever or whomever you are listening to is worth listening to. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, what business do you as a Christian have being around it? The Bible tells us we're to forsake it. Turn away from it. Leave it alone. It's no good. Many people are out today that promote their own version of the gospel, both men and women. And we've got to be careful what we listen to. We've got to know what we're listening to, and we have to seek out the truth in God's Word, what is written. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It don't matter what I say. It don't matter what Pastor Wade says. It don't matter what the Sunday school teacher says. You need to make sure that anything that comes out of my mouth or any man up here behind this pulpit, you look up what he says the Bible says and make sure he is telling you the truth. Because you have to guard your heart. I make mistakes. Everybody in here can tell you that knows me anytime knows that I make a lot of them. I make tons of mistakes. But to be a good listener, we need to lean slightly forward to the speaker, and our eyes need to be focused on him. Our speaker is God. Every aspect of us needs to be saying, tell us more. There should be a hunger in our heart to make sure that we're doing right. And this is how we should be when we read our Bibles. A good listener is on a mission. He wants to hear what God has to say, and every inch of his being, of the body and mind, is focused on this, seeking out the truth. And it brings us to the next verse, verse 21. And we look at the eyes, the first mention of the eyes. Verse 21 teaches the beloved son to get God's word into his heart and into his sight. And do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. We must make sure that they are steady and fixed on God. Our eyes control more than what we think. Our eyes train our hearts because it is the visual food that we feed our hearts with. So let me ask you this. What does your heart desire today? What do you feed your heart? Does it desire to watch Jerry Springer? I hope not. If we get our kicks off of watching other people suffer, there's a problem. It ought to break our hearts. Now, I got to admit, being a what they call an introvert, which I didn't know what that meant until a few years ago, but I was always the guy that liked to stir the pot and sit in the back and watch because them extroverts like causing a bunch of problems. Right? But that doesn't need to happen. That's not how it's supposed to be. Does our heart desire to watch shows that are filled with the ways of the world, which it seems like it's everything on TV? There's nothing I can stand to watch anymore. It makes me sick. And I used to love watch TV. So now all I do is watch Westerns, Gunsmoke. And I'm even finding problems in that now. When we guard our hearts, we're starting to fill out and figure out our shortcomings. And we're going to see what we say is okay versus what the Bible says is not okay. And it happens, and we can only do that through God's Word. Now listen. What we look at is enclosed within our hearts. We cannot forget anything that we've ever seen. You cannot. So if you're watching the bad stuff, it's there. And you're going to long for it. Our sinful nature thrives when we do what we're not supposed to do. The words of God are those of wisdom and need to be held captive within our hearts. They're not just to be a memory of our minds. They are to be the abiding principles within our heart that continually pushes us to deepen our spiritual and moral nature. Psalms 119:10 tells us, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments." It is through our eyes that we find the power in God's words. Verse 22 shows us that if God's word of wisdom aren't in the heart, if they are in the heart, they will bring life and healing. God's word is medicine. Medicine. I love it when I'm at church. I'm surrounded by y'all. It's the only time I feel at home. Not talking about my home with my wife and kids. But I don't know if you remember, the best way I can describe it is going to grandma's house. And she'd always make us feel at home. Nothing in the world could touch us there. Here I'm at home, and God has got us. And I love that feeling. For one short moment throughout this week, I don't have to worry about nothing. Nothing. And that's a comfort and a promise and a power that only Jesus can give us. And how are we going to hold on to that? It's by staying in His Word. God's words are life to those who find them. God's words are the health to all of our body. So notice with me the blessings that come unto those who hold the truth and wisdom of God's Word. Our text says they are life. God's Word gives us strength. It makes us feel healthy and full of energy. They are the incorruptible seed which causes inner life and gives meaning and gives us the energy to exist. Because we can't do it on our own. Oh my, we need God's healing hand today. We've heard it and we're praying for a revival. We need personal revival so it can spill out into our community. And our community can spill out to the state. And maybe the state will even spill out to Washington. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? God's Word not only gives us life, but it gives us health. And life without health, it can be frustrating to say the least. Our spiritual health depends on the diet that we feed it. God's Word is more than just a principle to our spiritual health. And I know principles are very important, but I'm the kind of guy that believes that it is a necessity. It's a necessity. We can't live without it. What we see feeds our soul by supplying the nutrients to our heart. We must be careful what we feed it, because what we feed it ensures our health. The health of our heart controls the health of all kinds. Intellectual health, moral health, physical health, and spiritual health. I know these are all individual, but they're all connected to our heart. All of them. The depressed or weakened mind affects the body. So we can see that immorality diseases both the mind and the body. That's why we're constantly turning to God's Word for renewing in our minds. We will fail if we're not in God's Word. God's Word gives us a constant strengthening that can continually restore our body and our soul. Nothing keeps our heart in a healthier state than when we have our eyes focused on God. It is God's Word that gives us the health to walk through life. And we're making it to the heart, our heart. This is the most important part. Everything revolves around the heart. Our bodies will not function without the heart. It is the center of which our body operates. There is so much that can hurt the heart, so we have to protect it. And in verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's look at this. The heart in Solomon's sayings is never a reference to the organ that is pumping inside our chest. It's the part that, it's the inner man. It's our conscience, if you will. It's the part of us that constitutes the center of our mind, our will, and our emotions. The heart is pictured as the source from which life erupts. It is where the issues of life tend to arise, and this is, and thus is frequent. It's a frequent topic in this scripture. As you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll see it's mentioned 78 times. The heart of the natural man is corrupt. We know this from Scripture. Natural man has lost the ability to totally control himself. That's why we have to have God. God directs our paths. He's pretty adamant in telling us that. So we can listen to some examples of how the heart controls our emotional desires. We read in Genesis 6:5 that the imaginations of a man's heart are only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately evil. Jesus says in Matthew 15:19, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. In Psalms 12, verse 2, you will read that you can be double-hearted. In Proverbs 28:14, you read that the hard-hearted will fall into mischief. In Proverbs 21:4, we read about how a proud heart is sin. And in Matthew 24:12, Jesus tells us because of sin, our hearts are cold. The problem today is not whether we're good people or bad people. The problem today is sin. It is sin. When we do not listen to God's word, we end up with an unguarded heart. So we can see that's the problem. We have to stay in God's word. We have to encourage each other to be what God wants us to be. And He wants us to be faithful to Him and obedient. This first part of verse 23 says, keep the heart with all diligence. This means that by all means or above anything else, to guard your heart. And since it's in the first part of the sentence, it makes it empathetic. It's saying that if you have the ability to only do one thing, it is to guard your heart. Protect your heart above anything else. So will you do it successfully and do it with conviction? The only way that can happen is to know God's word and what it has to say. I've been guilty of this. I let my kids grow up playing video games and then war games. What harm does the video game got? Well, until you hear young kids talking around about killing people and it has no effect on them, they think it's just normal. That's very wrong. And that's something I had to deal with. I wished I'd never let them done it. How can entertainment cause our problems? It's what was feeding our hearts. You know how many hours I've spent playing a video game? I've been known to be up for 4 days straight. Wow. A lot of time and energy wasted for nothing, right? What do we let control our lives? What do we feed our hearts? We are to watch our hearts closely because if we don't, there is a greater danger that we'll be turned away if we're turned away from God. There are so many influences that can be attractive and so many seductive forces in our lives. And turning away from God can be catastrophic. Our heart must be confined and it must be closely observed. It must be protected and guarded at all times. Psalms 139 verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. An unguarded heart can lead to an angry heart. Anger gets me in trouble a lot. I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all share that same sentiment. How many times have we done something stupid when we were angry? broke fingers, broke windows, broke tools, hurtful words that can never be taken back. Now listen to this. There's a doctor from Duke University. His name is Dr. Redford Williams, and he's in the Behavioral Medicine Research Center. And he has been saying for years that having hostile personalities can kill us, most often by heart disease, but also by injuries and accidents. Anger speeds the heart rate, raises blood pressure, and disrupts the coronary arteries. Some indicators of a hostile heart are impatience with delays, mistrust of coworkers, annoyance with the habits of family members or friends, and a persistent need to have the last word in arguments or to get even when wronged. Does this sound familiar? Yes. Do we see examples of this today? What kind of hate do we see portrayed today? I'm not trying to get in politics and mention politics from the pulpit, but how I've never seen the hatred towards one person like we see today. I know he's not perfect. That's why we need to pray. Pray that God steps in. And we can see how anger can twist people around, that no matter what they do, they're going to push for their own agenda. I can tell you this. Our wise Heavenly Father issues the same call to everybody about His life-giving words recorded in the Bible. And we have it here in front of us. The transformation from an angry heart begins as we listen to God and meditate on His Word and allow Him to alter our behavior and speech. And this is all having to do with guarding our heart. Everything has to do with guarding our heart. It's a prescription that I need to follow each and every day. And I pray you do as well. Let God's Word fill your mind, rule your heart, and guide the springs of life. The heart is a source of life. It's the root, the fountain, the spring of our being. Now, whatever the heart wants, our ears will listen to, our eyes will see, and our hands and feet will do. Whatever our heart wants. If the fountain is not pure, all the streams that come out of it will be polluted. The heart is a precious garden that must be cultivated and cared for, or life will be overrun by thorns, thistles, and weeds and vermin. Look at the trouble you go through to keep your clothes clean and mended and pressed. Is your heart not worthy of greater attention than those things? How much care do we give to our cars, keeping them clean? How much attention do we give our pets? How many songs can we sing by heart versus the scripture that we can repeat by heart? A lot of tough questions, right? We are to keep it from getting defiled. We're to keep it from getting stained. We're to keep it from getting poisoned by evil. We have to guard our heart. And the only way we can do that is through God. We need to keep our heart like a precious garden. We've got to be watching for those weeds when they pop up and run them vermins off. Here's a little illustration. The family's water supply came from a spring just a few feet from the house. The pure, cold, sweet water bubbled up through a large pipe about the size of a barrel that had been sunk in the ground. One morning, two huge frogs were found in the spring. No one wanted to drink from the water until the frogs had been removed, and the water had been allowed to flush over the sides for the rest of the day. Everyone wanted to make sure it was clean and pure again. You can look at the frogs as evil thoughts, and we can look at the spring as a man's heart. If our thought of life is evil, the words and the deeds that flow out from within will be contaminated. Jesus said that the blasphemous statements made by His enemies revealed their inner selves. They spoke what they did because they had allowed the evil thoughts to take control of their mind. So you can see that it's very important to guard what comes into our minds because we become what we think. If we let hateful thoughts control our mind, We will become cruel and heartless. If we let lustful thoughts control our minds, we become immoral. But when we dwell on God's Word, our heart becomes lovely and pure. And we will start to have unselfish thoughts. And we'll start doing things that honor God. So keep the spring pure. Guard your heart. Watch what you're feeding it. And this leads us to our mouth. Our mouth. Our mouth is really affected by our hearts. In verse 24, we see a demand for pure language out of the heart. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. This is a stream that flows from our heart. It's an unkept heart will lead to a deceitful mouth. If you want to know what's going on in the heart, just listen to what the mouth is saying. It'll tell you exactly what's going on. In Matthew 12:33, Jesus taught us that whatever is in the heart will eventually come out of the mouth. Man must not only be redeemed, he must be sanctified. And the only way that's going to happen is through Christ Jesus. The things that the heart needs to put away, first, is a deceitful mouth and devious lips. The power of speech is one of the grandest gifts that distinguish man from animals. Where would we be without our ability to communicate? So we should be able to use our speech for the purpose that God had intended it. In Titus chapter 2, you will find what God's children must be careful to have: sound speech that is beyond reproach. In Colossians 4:6, it tells us that speech that is gracious and seasoned with salt. We must watch what we say. Now in verse 25, we go back to the eyes. In verse 25, we read, "Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." This is another stream that flows out of your heart. In order to guard our heart, we must focus our eyes on the Lord. So what is before your eyes? Right now it's hunting season and football season, right? It's hard being a Razorback fan. But that goes to prove to you too. There's only one thing that'll never let us down. And that is God. Don't get me wrong, I love going to the woods and sitting out in His creation. And I'm glad when I get the chance to do it. But I have to stay in God's Word. Have you ever heard of the expression that outlook determines outcome? It's very true. Abraham was the friend of God because he walked by faith and he looked for a city whose builder was God. Lot became a friend of the world because he walked by sight and he looked for a city. He looked toward a city, the wicked city of Sodom. Everybody has some vision or goal before them that helps them determine their value, their actions, and their plans. We would all do well to imitate what David said, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes," in Psalms 101. And the writer of Psalms 119, verse 37, prayed, "Turn my eyes from worthless things." We need to look to Jesus as we go our way in life. We don't need to let our eyes look lustfully upon forbidden things. We need to let our outward and inward eye be singled and focused on God and God alone. When the eye is focused clearly on God, the whole body is full of light. You find that in Matthew 6, verse 22. If the focus of our life is the Lord, then a life of integrity can be lived. So what do we mean by integrity? Well, it all falls in that honesty category. We can be better husbands, better wives, better fathers, better mothers, better businessmen. We can be a good steward. We need to put on our blinders so we can focus on Jesus, ignore the distractions in the world. I'm bad about chasing squirrels. Real bad. I got to make sure, and I have to fight it all the time, to stay where God wants me to be and not where I think Robbie Alexander wants me to be. Old-time farmers, when they used to plow, they'd always look for something to fix their eyes on to plow a straight line. And most of the time, it was an old fence post. Hebrews 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our fence post. He is the one we need to keep our eyes fixed on so we stay straight and we don't vary. Our hands and the feet are affected by our heart. Verse 26 says, ponder the paths of thy feet and let thy ways be established. It is telling us that you must watch your step if you would guard your heart. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. You must carefully consider your step if you will guard your heart. The Hebrew word translated watch or ponder means to weigh or to make level. It comes from the root word scale. So we're to measure it out and really look in what direction we're going. Are we following Christ or are we following the world? So listen here. This tells us we're to ponder and consider a path in our life in the beginning of our trial or our need, not when we're halfway through it or near the end. We know when things aren't going right. Every decision we make needs to be made through God. We don't need to start thinking about it in the middle or the end. So what kind of example can I come up with this? I'm not a very bright individual sometimes, but being used to managing a fleet of vehicles, we got people who wouldn't pay attention when they were pumping gas. They knew they needed gas, and being out working the way we did, there was a lot of conversations that went on the phone that wasn't pleasant between husbands and wives, and they're filling up a vehicle. A lot of times it was our troop carriers, and they would be filling it up with diesel while they was arguing on the phone. And before they noticed what they'd done filled up a gas engine with diesel fuel. It's easily done when we're distracted and we're not paying attention. I know that seems far-fetched, but that's the best this old boy can do. When we rush headfirst down a pathway, we don't plan ahead, because how many times have us, any of us, ever went down a path and there was never a split in the road? There's always a turn. And when we're barreling down it head first, doing it under our own power and our own speed, where do we end up? Ask Abraham and Sarah where they ended up. We know where they ended up. Trying to make their hand on a promised son. Thought they was going to help God make it happen. The straight and narrow way will lead us to eternal life. God promises to establish our paths. From His viewpoint, He sees the beginning and the end. So who are we not to trust Him? We don't know what's happening tomorrow, but God does. So we need to make sure that we put 100% of our life in His control. And how do we do that? By guarding our heart. Because this world tells us we choose our destiny. We can choose our faith, which we can on the faith part. But God's going to use us for whatever means He wants us to. Another thing to think about, God revealed Himself to a heathen about the plagues that was going to come to the land. He revealed Himself to a man that thought himself a god, and He used Joseph to interpret it. And we get to watch a heathen that didn't believe in God acknowledge who God was, and God blessed him through Joseph. God will use you for whatever you want. We have to guard our hearts, stay in His Word, so He can use us for His glory. Verse 27, it says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And this is an instruction, an instruction for doing. It instructs us to continually walk in the pilgrim pathway. When Christ reigns in our hearts, our feet will walk in His ways. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Isaiah 30:21 tells us, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." We need to make sure that we're on the right path. Is God leading your direction? In one section of John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, if you never read it, I encourage you to, Christian and hopeful are walking the King's highway to the celestial city. The path they were on, once smooth and easy, becomes rough and hard, and they come to an attractive place called Bypass Meadow. They climb over the fence of the meadow, and the new path becomes easy again, but it's only for a short while, and it becomes steep and rugged again, and then a terrible storm comes up on them, and they fall asleep from exhaustion. Then the owner of the meadow, the giant of despair, drags them to a castle, puts them in a dungeon, where he taunts them, and he beats them, and he starves them. Hurt and confused, they are in a lot of despair. And they start to pray. And Christian remembers the key of promise that he has in his packet, his satchel. And he grabs the key and it unlocks the gate. And they're out for freedom. And they're back on the King's highway, on the safe road. So are you doubting? Are you filled with despair? What is the condition of your heart? That key of promise is Jesus Christ. He can heal us. He can help us. And He will give us comfort. He will bring back to memory of the good times. And He gives us hope to look forward to. I love it when God helps me remember the good times. You know, for lunch today we had tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. My grandma used to love to fix that. It's memories, happy memories, not sad. Perhaps somewhere along the line you chose to leave God's will to follow some desire of the heart that was of the world and not of God. And if you have, I pray that you come back. Just look to Jesus. Confess your sin and accept His promise of forgiveness. Return to the right path. When Jesus was out in the wilderness, He could have done anything He wanted to do. Here He is, God Himself, in the form of man. And Satan thinks he has the power to tempt him and change his mind and do anything. Jesus could have done it. He could have done it by just moving his fingers. But He pointed us to something. He said, "It is written, according to the Scriptures." I encourage you tonight, if you have any problems that's going on in your life, I guarantee you it's something that God cannot take care of. I thank you all for tonight. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the ability to be able to stand here and preach again, Father. Father, I pray it was a clear message. And Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for my family and my friends. Father, I pray we learn to give everything to you. And Father, help us guard our hearts. There's a lot of hate going around. There's a lot of people trying to stir people up and get them angry to say the wrong things. I pray we do everything through you, Father. Everything we do is through you to honor you. God bless us through this week and bring us back home safely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.